Alrighty, welcome everybody. This is Gordon, W2 Tango Tango Tango, for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is held weekly at 9 p.m. on Thursday evenings on the Bergen County FM Association 14679 repeaters, either in Franklin Lakes as we are today, or in Paramus as we are other times. The repeaters are operated by the Bergen County Amateur Radio Association and not by the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, such that we look forward to your support of the repeaters, the repeater group. In fact, the repeater group has a meeting coming up later in the month of February. Maybe we'll hear about that a little bit more later tonight or in future weeks. In any case, the purpose of the technical net is to engage in a dialogue, in a discussion, if you will, on any subject related to amateur radio or to the telecommunications art in general. There's really no subject that's taboo as long as it's kept clean and family. Any station may participate in the net as long as you are licensed to transmit on the 144 to 148 megahertz band. Generally, that is a technician class in the U.S. or higher. Again, we welcome anyone, whether or not they're a member, to the net. The process for checking in is pretty straightforward. You will provide your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. I'll get you later for what those questions or comments might be, but we have a quick check-in process. We do check in by parts of the allocation base. So if I call for Kilo stations, if your call sign begins with a Kilo, you should check in at that time. Whiskey, Alpha, and of course November, in whatever order suits me that evening. Okay, well, we've had a wonderful group of nets, and we're rapidly coming into the fourth quarter of our first year, and I'm pretty excited about that fact. I'm even more excited about the fact that others have been able to run the net quite efficiently and effectively, and to the great pleasure of the community, even when I have not been able to be here, and I thank them for doing that. There's quite a cast of characters who've taken that load from time to time when I've had family or work obligations, or just plain not feeling well. So let us begin. Remember, you log in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. Stations whose call signs begin with Kilo, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, J2ZO. No comments, no questions.
Good evening, James. Wow, I think that's a first. Wow, excellent. Well, not so excellent, but anyway. Good evening to you, James. K2ZO acknowledged. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
KF2ID, no questions or comments at the moment.
Okay, Ben, very good. Good evening to you, KF2ID. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. Okay, let's go to the November stations. Any November station, please call K2BAR.
This is NS2K, Jim. No traffic at this point.
Good evening, Jim. Sounds like you're mobile. That's pretty cool. I guess, well, it's probably not cool. It means you're on your way home from work, probably. Yuck. All right. Good evening to you and welcome. Any other November stations, please call K2BAR.
K2GCL repeater.
Some people can't follow directions.
NJ1W, Dave. No questions.
I'm sorry, I doubled with you again, please.
NJ1W, Dave, no questions.
Good evening, Dave. NJ1W acknowledged. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on to the Alpha stations. Any Alpha stations, please call K2BAR. Okay, how about them thar Whiskey stations, all W's, please call K2BAR. Wow. I'm impressed. Not, but anyway. Actually, I'm probably being a little too efficient on the check-in tonight. That's probably, I think, part of the problem. Alrighty, any other stations wishing to check in to the Barra Technical Net, please call K2BAR. Any call sign, please.
Whiskey India, 2 Whiskey.
WITW, good evening, Steve. Any questions or comments?
One question for the net.
Yeah, I have a question. So yeah, put me down for question one.
Noted. Who is the other station? Somebody else doubled with you, Steve. I got that you have a question. Who is the other station? Okay. I have so far K2ZO, KF2ID, NS2K, NJ1W, WI2W. Any other stations wishing to check into the Barra Technical Net, please come now with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
This is KC2PYB with one question.
Hi, Richard. Okay, I thought that might be you. I wasn't sure. Alrighty, and thank you for your emails this week. Noted your question. Anybody else, please call K2BAR.
N3CRT. No questions, just a comment about that site.
And your question is duly noted. Anybody else, Charlie? I mean, anybody else after Charlie? All right, well, why don't we begin? We've played this game enough. So, our first question is from Whiskey India 2 Whiskey, Mr. Steve. How are you this evening, Steve? And what is your question?
Evening, folks on the net and folks listening. Let's see. We were talking about J-poles last week, so I was skimming around the net looking at different J-pole designs. And the question is it appropriate to put a choke below the J-pole? And if so, where? And I've seen designs without the choke. I've seen designs with the choke up near the base of the J-pole. And then I stumbled across Tom WHAI's site, who, with some very fancy mathematics and modeling, which I don't pretend to understand, suggested that the feed line is, in fact, part of the antenna as well. There's the question.
That was the question. I just absorbed so much new information that I don't know where to start.
Well, basically the question is it appropriate to put a choke below a J-pole on the coax someplace, and if so, where?
I did not think so. However, you're making me wonder. So, anybody want to take a shot at it?
Yes, it's KF2ID. It's generally appropriate to put a choke on the feed line. And as far as I could understand, it should be as close to the antenna as possible. The feed line should not be part of the antenna. That's the feed line. I didn't read that mathematical model, and I don't understand why he would even want to prove it otherwise. Because feed line is exactly what it is, a feed line, and it can be as long, as short as possible, and it can run in and out of any place, and close to anything. If it's properly shielded coax. So you want to put the... let me drop out for a second. The way the choke works is this. A properly balanced feed line, the current in the inner conductor and the current in the inner part of the shield are equal and opposite each other, and therefore they cancel out their electromagnetic field, and so there's no radiation from the feed line. That's the whole purpose of the choke. Now, if the two are unbalanced, then the current, say, in the outer leg is different from the outer shield is different from the current in the inner shield, then there is a residual magnetic field. And what the choke does is absorbs that energy and chokes it off. So the two have to be, so then the two are balanced when they come out. So you want to get it as close to the antenna as you can, because then you reduce the radiation from the feed line as soon as you can. Now whether you really need it or not is another question. I guess you're running a high power amplifier where the radiation might be significant, then you're probably a great idea.
if you're running, unless you're running it off a handheld or something, like these portable J-poles I used, is antenna wire type J-poles I used, transmission line, and you know, making transmission lines, the radiation is very small, and as a practical matter, most people have had no problems with it. So from practical experience, you probably can get away without a choke in most J-pole applications. But from a theoretical point of view, the whole function of the choke is to keep it out of the currents in the feet, in the inner part of the shield and the conductor balance, and you like to do that as close to the antenna as possible. KF2ID.
Yep, I would agree. There's two ways you can do the balun as well. You can certainly do the ferrite business, and we've seen some interesting demonstrations of that from Jim. The other is you could conceivably wind it in a very small loop, but you have to respect the turning the minimum turning radius of the coax. That probably works okay through 2 meters, you know, running a bunch of you know, coils of the coax up near the feed point. If you're using like RG-8 or RG-58, pardon me, something small where you can get a relatively tight, you know, 6 or 10 turns of that coax to make it a balun. But, you know, the ferrite method is another way as well, although there are stories of people cooking them with the ferrite balons, and I guess that's because the current, you know, does become, you know, present on the outside and ends up turning itself into heat. I'm not exactly sure the principles by which that actually happens, but I guess some sort of, you know, current imbalance, if you will, from the balun, and turns it all into heat, and then bad things happen. Jim, can I toss that to you for a comment, K2ZO, K2BAR?
Okay, K2BAR, this is K2ZO. Well, if you remember some of my field day antennas that used current type of balance, that is the type that just really have a choke, a ferrite, they actually at some frequencies would get slightly warm because there were some currents flowing. So definitely, that gives you proof that the thing is working. Let me drop a second. One of the other antennas that I can remember in which the support structure actually and feed section became a portion of the antenna was, you remember that AEA made an antenna. I don't remember what it was called, but it was a vertical, and it was a half wave long. And I'm not talking about the half wave with the tuning like the Ringo had, but another type of thing. And they had a skirt which looked kind of like a part of a funnel slid over the pipe, and then a quarter wavelength down they had another one as a decoupler. So in actuality, part of that thing became part of the antenna, part of the feed structure. In order to really evaluate that, what I would try is put the choke ferrite a quarter wavelength down. First of all, it would choke it off, and if indeed that section acts as an antenna, that will aid it. Back to that, K2ZO.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, so your thought is that by sliding it down so that the top of the ferrite is a quarter away from the feed point, then you might get that advantage if there's an advantage to be had.
That's right. So it's not gonna make that much difference in terms of radiation or coupling from the antenna, and you've got the best of both worlds.
It'll probably be a good empirical experiment. Now, what happens if you moved it to a half wave from the feed point?
Well, a half wave is going to repeat itself. Okay, so it's not putting it a half wave down is the same as putting it, at least electrically, right up at the base. That's interesting. I wouldn't think it would make that much difference. But a quarter wave will actually put that other quarter wave section, indeed, if it is resonant or radiating anyway, it'll allow it to radiate. If that's indeed what happens on that antenna, which I don't believe that's what happens, but who knows.
Well, I knew about the repeatability of the impedance point. What I guess I was getting at was, what is generally the effect of a half-wave radial versus a quarter-wave radial for a nominal quarter-wave or 5/8 radiator?
Well, remember the radio, the length of the radio is reflected back. So if you have a high impedance at one end of a quarter wave, you have a low impedance at the other. So therefore, if you use a quarter wave radio, just like using a counterpoise, even though you haven't got it attached to ground, you've effectively grounded your antenna.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. Okay. Very good. One other question. You noted, and I had noted as well, I guess, that, you know, there's something going on if the ferrites warm up, and then perhaps that heat is then transferred into the jacket, the coax, blah, 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 and in extreme conditions you can torch the whole thing, but that's not the case. You had it field day. The question would be, if there's heat being generated, is that not manifest demonstration of, if you will, signal loss on the transmit side?
I would then say that it's probably some loss. It's hard to measure it, but in my case, I was loading a random impedance in a random antenna fed with a choke ballon, which I was just using to just choke off the RF so it wouldn't be bothering us. And I did indeed notice that on some cases where I had a lot of reactants, that the choke actually got warm. I mean, not hot or anything. We were only running 150 watts. But it actually got warm, and I was quite surprised at that.
Yep. Okay, very good. Very good. By the way, I had an adventure. Let's finish this, and I'll talk about something I did last weekend with a similar situation. Are there any other questions or comments that people want to add to Steve's original question about ferrite balance and feed points of J-poles, etc.? Please call K2BAR.
KF2ID. Well, if your ferrites got warm, I think it proves that you needed them. It proves that it's absorbing the energy due to the unbalanced currents. And if you didn't have that ferrites there, that energy, that unbalanced current would show up in your shack and maybe make things a little shocking for you. So you really needed them, KF2ID.
Yeah, I would agree, and also suggest that you have the advantage now of also keeping your RFI down. You gotta watch the flip switch. But if you can minimize the RFI, not just in your shack, but also in places where you had unintended radiation outside the shack, like maybe toward your neighbor's house and things like that, other than your ham shack, other than your antenna feed point, you shouldn't be radiating anywhere. So, all right, that's pretty good. I gotta do something about this foot switch. I'm getting too light on it. Anyway, let's see. I did have something that happened last weekend. The last weekend? Yeah, it was last weekend. We were up at Camp Novi Bosco, where Tony was a Boy Scout back in 1940, God knows what. And we were kind of sequestered there because of the ice storm that made hiking around, even going to do simple things like going to latrine, a rather interesting challenge. So I was thinking of alternative programs and brought things with me, anticipating the weather. And one of the things we brought was my portable box. And I strung out maybe about 150 feet of wire, no more than about 8-10 feet in the air. Put it on an AH-4 tuner with my IC-7000. And 35-foot counterpoise, and I was making contacts on 20 meters, on 80 meters. It was great. We had a ball, and the word Curacao, and I think, I'm trying to remember, a bunch of Western states later in the evening, but 20 meters were Curacao, and the boys were very, very impressed. It was late afternoon, and it was really good. So having a portable antenna of any kind that's effective is that's and maybe the necessary matching toy, whatever it might be, whether it's a bunch of ferrites or an EH4, will do the trick. So that's pretty cool. So let's see if there's any other subjects related to this that we want to touch before we move on. Alrighty, before we move on, let me ask this quick question. Are there any stations wishing to join the net who have not checked in? Please call K2BAR.
KC2AWX.
Very good, Harvey. KC2AWX, do you have a question or a comment for the net?
No, I'm just listening. Just being a total nuisance. But other than that, it sounds fine to me.
Okay, very fine. Any other stations wishing to check in, please call K2BAR. KC2SKL, you're really, really weak, Kelly. Actually, I heard you on 442 the other day. You used a bad word, but it's okay. You know, it's 440, so you don't have kids listening except my son. I'm not just kidding. I'm busting now. I'm really being bad. Anyway, so I got you, Kelly. Do you have any questions or comments for the net? And good evening. And she either moved or walked away. I'm not sure which. KC2SKL, K2BAR. Very good. Any other stations wishing to join the net before we go to the next question, please call K2BAR.
This is KF2ID. I'll be checking out. Good night, everyone. 73.
Ben, before you go, I think we're going to have one announcement you might want to catch, but very good, and have a good evening, and thank you for joining us. N3CRT, your announcement, Mr. Charlie, K2BAR.
Okay, good evening everybody on the net. This is N3CRT. We've been playing with some things here on the TechNet and ways of sharing information and maybe sharing pictures and talking and discussing different things. And I wanted to see if we could extend that onto an online presence to where we could have sort of the TechNet every day of the week. So I heard about this today. Listening to a podcast while working at work, and it's a social networking site where you can create your own social networks. So I created a network called the Barra TechNet, and the website to access this, and I'll repeat it at the end if people are scrounging around for paper and pen, but it's Barra TechNet, all lowercase, all run together, P-A-R-A T-E-C-H-N-E-T dot Ning, like November India, November Golf dot com, Barratechnet dot Ning dot com. And I just wanted to invite people to sign up for an account there and maybe play with it a little bit and see, you know, we might be able to share some stuff here, keeping an activity log of things we discuss on the net. And just to add to what we've already got out there and give something to show for other people that might be interested in a little shy to talk or ask questions. So just thought that would be a nice thing to share with everybody, and we can all work together to make it really neat. It looks really neat so far. I've only been playing for like 15 minutes, and you can see there's already a lot of stuff on there. We can add pictures, videos, there's news feeds, a forum. And, you know, we can just expand this to whatever we can, and I just thought I'd add that in there. And again, that address is barratechnet.ning.com. So Thanks to everybody, and we'll talk later. N3CRT back to net.
K2KCL repeater.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm in the process of signing up now. There's a place where you actually sign up for it on the website. So that's pretty cool. So, I don't have a picture handy, Charlie. I'm really, really sorry. But that's probably a good thing. And, yeah, very cool. So, we will definitely, you know, try more of this. Let's see. It looks interesting so far. dear me. Anyway, all right, enough of this. My other questions, well, actually, we have another question. And that is, actually, why don't we see if anyone has any questions about this. Just for reference, it's BaraTechNet, BaraTechNet, .ning, like ring, except it's with a November instead of a Romeo, ning.com. I think you'll be able to figure out the rest from there. So, make sure you sign up when you get in there, too. Fill out the little survey thingy. It's pretty straightforward. My profile is pending approval, Charlie. That's your job, I think. Alrighty. Any other stations with comments about the BaraTechNet social site, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Charlie, can we get rid of the you have two secret crushes, two people want to chat with you, try out our free chat rooms, or try out our chat rooms for free now? Yeah, that part's got to go.
If it's on the right side, I really can't remove it. I'm trying to find what you're talking about. I don't know if I've already been infected on the forums, but I'm not seeing that. I don't know what kind of virus you might have on your computer, but I don't see it anywhere. Maybe you can tell me where you're seeing this.
Once you get in there, it says hello and then your name, this little box there, and you can click to sign out. Underneath that, there's an Ads by Google box. That's what I was referring to, the contents of that.
Yeah, it's funded by Google in AdSense, so I don't know. I hope that doesn't show up for everybody, but that's just kind of an annoying feature of the site. That might be something we have to put up with, but I'm not seeing it on my end, so I think everybody gets different things.
Guess what? It's gone. Now, because it's definitely interest-driven, because when I refresh the page by selecting one of the pictures you have there, I like the CB radio truck. That's very cute. Everybody should click on the CB radio truck. Anyway, all of a sudden it became personal photo ID badges and things like that. I probably picked up my census information, and all of a sudden it's asking me for digital photo album stuff and photo IDs.
Yep, I think that's just about how it works, and it'll pick up the tags that I've applied to some of the pictures and probably try to sell you an antenna here or there or send you off to ICOM site. So we'll just have to see how it works. And, yeah, I hate those things. You want a free iPod. Somebody has a crush on you. That's, I don't know. The internet can drive you crazy sometimes. So N3CRT back to the net. Let's hear, I guess, from that other guy with a question.
Anyway, nice job, Charlie. Very nice, and I'll send you some pictures once you approve me. You haven't approved me yet, I don't think, or have you? I guess you have. Alrighty. Yes, I've changed state, as it were. Interesting, I just clicked on another picture, your operating desk, and magically, no ads came up. Well, now they're coming up, I guess. I don't know what's going on. I'm having to think about it. Alrighty. Richard, KC2PYB. This is K2BAR. What is your question?
KC2PYB to K2BAR. The question I have is, I'm going to be getting a Yazoo 897 in a few days, and I'm going to be using the ATAS 120 antenna that was designed for it. Now, the unique situation I have is I do not live in a private house. I live on the fifth floor of a 15-story building. It's a fireproof building. Right now, my antenna is a mag mount sitting out on the air conditioner unit for its ground plane. I plan to put the 120 antenna on a 5-inch mag mount out there as well, so I can get the antennas outside the building. Since the antenna, since the 897 also goes down as far as 2 and 70 centimeters, will those two antennas interfere with each other?
There's going to be some interaction. There's definitely going to be some interaction. But, no, I wouldn't worry about it too much. You'll be fine. They drive different antenna ports. 6 meters and down uses one port, and 2 meters and 440 use the other port.
So, well, what I was worried about was the antennas will only be about a foot, maybe a little more than a foot, 14 inches apart or so, you know, maybe a little more than that. Will they, you know, resonate back and forth and, like, cancel out, something like that?
No, I think your biggest problem is going to be that they're going to make it directional, but I think given that your antennas are up against a building, their mutual interactions are the least of your issues.
What other problems might I have?
Well, on HF, a couple of things come to mind. The first thing I would do is at the feed point of the antenna, maybe at the base of the mag mount, I would make a point of getting a 40-meter long, you know, quarter wave. Pardon me, dinner was too recently. I would get yourself a quarter wave wire, say 33 feet of wire, 35 feet of wire. Just, you know, buy yourself a hunk of, like, number 12 or number 10, you know, cord at, you know, wire at Radio Shack, and just make sure that's bonded to the, you know, in a DC way to the base of the magma for the HF antenna, and then run that back into your apartment, and then, you know, wherever it goes, just bury it in the walls or bury it in the carpet or whatever. Just make a counterpoise to see how that, but you can't obviously hang, you know, 30 feet of wire down, you know, five stories. Your neighbors will complain. But you should have some counterpoise on that. I would do that. And if I remember right, the ATAS 120 is a 40 through 6 meter antenna, is it not?
According to the paperwork, it goes all the way from 2 meters all the way up to at least 80. I don't know about the 160 on there, but it's, you know, the full. And I don't know what we would need the counterpoise for, because normally they would ground it to the body of a car. The only reason that they didn't recommend a mag mount was because of a moving car, because of the weight of the antenna, they say, it might not stay on at high speed. So, you know, if my air conditioner takes off at high speed, that's going to be the least of my worries.
Yeah, but if you get a good buffeting wind, it's going to vortex against the side of the building. You could strip it straight off. I mean, if you have a nominal 60, 70 mile an hour gust that bangs your building, because you are 50 feet in the air at that point, so that's possible, and then it could be accelerated locally, so you could have, your antenna could experience higher wind forces.
Well, the dual band that's out there now hasn't moved an inch since the day I put it out there, and I figure with a 5-inch mag mount on there with an end connector on it, that one should move even less. The whole antenna, according to the spec sheet, weighs just under 2 pounds.
And how tall is it?
K2GCL repeater.
Could you repeat that again, Gordon?
Sure, Richard. How tall is it?
I don't have the sheet in front of me. I would say it's about 2 feet, maybe, well, the one I have out there now, which is an MFJ 1724, is about 14, 18 inches tall. This one, I would say, is probably under 3 feet.
All right, this is the ATAS-120?
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm looking. Son of a gun. There's a base VHF-UHF counterpoise kit for that antenna for list price for $114, but it sells typically for about $90. Isn't that interesting? So this is like a screwdriver antenna. I forgot that this is quite a active toy. So yeah, I think the whole overall, it even says the approximate antenna height is 5 1/4 feet. So figure about 5.5 feet with a base underneath it.
Yeah, okay, I just got the sheet, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most of the business is in the first 2+ feet, so that's fine. I still think you could probably benefit from a counterpoise because, I'm sorry, your air conditioner body is not going to be quite the capacitive ground that you want it to be. It's not going to be an electrical counterpoise, you know, at 80 meters, and technically neither will 30-odd feet of wire, but it probably will capacitively couple enough of its energy into the metal framing of your building that, you know, if you had about 35 feet of wire as a counterpoise strung back into along the feed line and then away from the feed line, you know, buried around your apartment and this way and that, just keep it linear, I think you probably get much better performance.
Well, if I put 33 feet of feed line into my apartment, how good a couch do you have over at your place? Because that's where I'll be sleeping.
No. Where are you bringing the antenna wire in?
Right now, the antenna, we have one large bank of windows. Goes from the dining room right into the living room. And the air conditioner is mounted over in the dining room, and then the cable comes all the way back, I would say about 14 feet, about 14 or 12 feet or something like that to where the radio sits.
Okay, so from the top of your air conditioner body outside, in, down onto the floor, and then along the floor to the other room, you've already gone 20-odd feet, right?
Probably about 18 feet, because I measured it the other day, and it was beyond the windows, and it's about 22 feet from one wall to the other.
Okay, do you have carpet?
Hell to pull up.
Okay, so it's wall-to-wall carpet. So you could bury a piece of wire along the edge, along the molding, wherever your coax is going. It's a good start. If you have a large couch, maybe you can stuff some of it under there, just to spread it out a little bit. Maybe take a couple of zigzags back and forth. All you're looking to do is to just have some of that wire, you know, capacitively couple itself to the rebar in the floor or whatever else is in there.
Well, what would happen if I don't put the counterpoise on?
Reduced performance.
Well, we'll have to see what will happen.
Okay, fair enough. And it may vary by band. In other words, that shorter piece, you're saying 18 feet, might be wonderful for 20 meters, and in which case you know, when the bands are hot, the bands 20 and above are going to be really, really good to you, and that'll be a good thing. It might not be as much of an issue for 80 meters or 40, but it might be enough for 40, but not 80. You know, you never really know. And I don't want to belabor it, but fundamentally, my experience has shown that if you have some form of counterpoise, it's a good thing. Alrighty, anybody else want to chime in on this one? This is K2BAR. Alrighty, we've gotten through two questions, two comments. And are there any other check-ins or comments or questions for the net? Please call K2BAR. Then I've got some announcements. Okie doke. Reminder, this Sunday is the Barra meeting for February. Apparently, there was a football game last week which distracted many potential meeting attendees. And so the executive committee has indicated that they would postpone the February meeting to the second weekend in the month of February. The Barra meeting is held at the Red Cross Building on Godwin Avenue in Ridgewood, New Jersey. The meeting is at 7:45 on Sunday evening. 7:45 Sunday evening. However, you can gather for that social time and coffee and sweets that are usually brought by WA2JKY and his lovely wife. You can come about 7 and enjoy the good company and fellowship of your brother and sister amateur radio operators. I'm good. Amateur radio operators. Rented lips. All right. Anyway, let us move on. Any questions, comments, confusions about the Barra meeting this month? Okay, I don't have the date, but next month in March, I believe it's the first Sunday, but not in the evening, we will be having our Barra auction. The Barra auction is held at midday on Sunday, I believe the first Sunday in March. But it will be where the Barra flea markets are and where the test sessions are. And those will be at Westwood High School in Washington Township. Details will be published in the Barra Bulletin and also on the Barra website, www.barra.org, and also will be publicized on all the nets. Speaking of nets, we have nets. We are Barra. The first net of the week is Monday at 9 p.m. All nets for Barra are 9 p.m. And that Barra net on Monday is on 28350. K2ZO is our wonderful net control. And you're encouraged to participate. It's at 9 p.m. again, 28350. And it's upper sideband for those who don't know the conventions. And we hope you can join us then. On Tuesday night on 444-100, I think it is 444-100, on the BCFMA repeater. If I'm wrong, it's 443-100. Using the same PL as this repeater does, 141-3, we have a net on 440 hosted by N2OEL. And again, we look forward to your participation there as well. And on Wednesday, we have a net here on 146-79. Which is a general purpose 2-RAM chat net, and you're more than welcome to participate in that as well. The 440 and 2-meter repeaters, again, are owned and operated by the Bergen County FM Association, and they look forward to your generous support. One other net, which I'll mention at this time because it is an open net, is the Bergen County Amateur Radio Emergency Services net. That is not a Barra net, but it is a net that I host once a month. It will be the second Monday of the month. That is this coming Monday. It's at 7:30 on this repeater. I strongly advise that you know how to program your radio in frequency and perhaps PL. That much I can give you as a warning notice. I would also recommend having a pencil and paper. For the net on Tuesday, on Monday night. On Monday night, 7:30, this frequency for the Bergen County Amateur Radio Emergency Services net. stations who would like to join Bergen County Amateur Radio Emergency Service are welcome to do so. And if you haven't already, let me know. You can shoot me an email. I can send you the form electronically at w2tangotangotango@arrl.net. w2tangotangotango@arrl.net.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay. Also, it has not been scheduled yet, but in March or April, we are due to have a resumption of the fox hunting season. And there will be a fox hunt in March or April. We haven't decided when we're going to start yet. So get your rigs ready and get ready for that. The transmitter hunting is fun, and there's always pizza afterwards. And I believe there's some sort of underwriting of that pizza or whatever it is we do afterwards. I'm not exactly sure what the exact regime is. But I can assure you we'll have a good time, a lot of fun. And the fox this time won't be particularly foxy. He wasn't last time either, in case you're wondering, Jim. But I can assure you he will try to outfox all of you. But the general rule is that you'll be able to drive up to the fox, and so that, you know, places some sanity, sensibility into the game. But it was a lot of fun last time, and I'm sure it was a lot of fun previously, and I hope to have it fun this time. Alrighty, any other questions, comments, confusions for the net, please call K2BAR.
Mr. K?
Jim, go ahead, Mr. K, K2BAR.
Question is, was there a BCFMA meeting announcement made?
I did mention it early in the net, except I didn't know the date. I know it's an upcoming Sunday, but I'm not sure what the date is.
Okay, I have the meeting announcement here. It is on Sunday the 24th of February at 7:30 at the same place that Barra holds its meetings, at the Red Cross Building, 74 Godwin Avenue, Ridgewood. And it's a once-a-year meeting, so it's not like they try to take up a whole lot of your time. They've apparently got a number of announcements they want to make, and of course trying to encourage people to join. And anyway, obviously there are a number of machines here, and it does take support. So your support is encouraged. But please come on by on the 24th, Sunday at 7:30, for the BCFMA meeting that the folks that support or run this this machine and several others. Anyway, thanks a lot. NS2K.
Excellent. Okay, so it's the 24th. That's good. Oh, God, that'll be my first radio club meeting after my 50th birthday. I don't know if I can... maybe I need to get suspenders and then I can attend. What do you think, Jim?
It may take more than suspenders for you.
Ouch. Ouch. All right, well, I used to wear suspenders, but, you know, there's a theory as to why does a man wear suspenders? And the answer to that question is because it's hard to hang a curtain from the bottom half of a sphere. Okay, that's enough time to ponder that thought, folks. Alrighty, let's see. Are there any other questions, comments, confusions, announcements? Announcements. Never mind. Anybody have any of those? Please call K2BAR. Well, on that note, then, I think I'm going to secure the net. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association wishes to thank the aforementioned Bergen County FM Association for their hospitality tonight, as always. And the net control, W2TTT, operating K2BAR, wishes to thank K2ZO, KF2ID, NS2K, NJ1W, WI2W, KC2PYB, N3CRT, and his baratechnet.ning.com website, very cool by the way, KC2AWX, and KC2SKL for their time and attention this evening. And anybody else who might be listening, thank you for your time and patience as well.
This is K2BAR, W2TTT, securing station and returning the repeater to normal amateur use. Thank you.